part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
This is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn, and I am here with my good friend Paul Edwards. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing fantastic, man.
Fantastic.
The new TV season is here,
and two very, very big shows premiered this week that have a lot to do with nerds like us, or nerds like us are interested in them, I should say.
That's right. Correct. Nerds like us were very interested and are still interested in some of it.
Yeah, I guess so. Some of it. I don't. So, I mean, basically, the first one to premiere, I guess let's just start chronologically, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's the big one.
It is the big one.
Gotham.
Dun, dun, dun.
The big one. So big that, like, even my in-laws, like, have not only, like, heard of this, but, like, it's been actively promoted to them because they went to the grocery store today, and the shopping bags that they brought back were Gotham-styled bags.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow.
Gotham had taken out ads on grocery store bags.
Nice. Well, you know, I mean, like, Batman needs help getting promotion, like a Batman property really needs.
Well, there's no Batman. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, for anybody, like, the two people that don't know in, like, New Guinea who are listening right now.
Hey, welcome.
You know, basically Gotham is Gotham City without Batman. It's sort of like a prequel to the Batman mythos, which follows James Gordon, who's going to become the commissioner in the Batman comics in the future.
Right.
And it basically is going to follow his career as he, ascends through the ranks of the Gotham City Police Department?
Well, apparently we're going to follow every character that will ever appear in a Batman comic book.
I know, right?
For the 10 to 15 years before Batman ever shows up.
Yes, which, you know, we mentioned, I don't know if it was in the last podcast, but we've mentioned this before where, I mean, we got to get it out of the way. Batman is going to be fighting. So let's be generous, okay? So at this point, the whole pilot, a big event in the pilot is, it happens in the very beginning, right? Is
the murder of Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Martha
right.
Wayne, exactly. Which I thought that scene was pretty well done, if you ask me.
I mean, there were a number of well done scenes in this pilot. Yeah. And first of all, the pilot looks like $1 million.
Oh my God.
I know
God.
It probably cost, you know, $5 million or whatever. But it looks fantastic.
It's expensive.
It is a good looking show.
I mean, buy Wayne Manor with the amount of money that they spent on that pilot, I think.
You've got gorgeous locations. It's really well thought out as far as the production design goes.
The production value is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I could definitely see the appeal of wanting to make Gotham for television. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a great location. It's just that, I don't know how many people were really crying out for Bruce Wayne, the Wonder Years.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, okay, you do. You have a great beginning of the murder of the Waynes, you know, and the kid, the kid who they've cast as Bruce Wayne is very good. He's very believable, you know. I mean,
and you're introduced to Catwoman at the same time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, Catwoman's like watching too. Although she's, you know, she hasn't really been given any dialogue lately. You know, she's just running around in various cat-like poses.
Yeah,
spying on everything that's going. She's sort of a I guess, sort of a petty thief at this point. You know,
and we don't know what her deal is. And she's not a very good pickpocket either.
Yeah, yes, she's a terrible pickpocket, but she's a spectacular gymnast.
Yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, she happened to witness the murder while she was up on a fire escape watching, you know, she watched the murder happen. And immediately the case is assigned to young, new officer Gordon. I don't know what his rank is at this point.
Yeah. He's a detective.
Yeah. And his partner,
Harvey Bullock.
So it's a little different than you had seen in something like Batman Year One, where he was partnered up with, was it Flask? Flask, sorry. Who was sort of like this totally corrupt, you know.
Yeah, scumbag.
Scumbag. And, you know, you had him sort of navigating this. The difference is, you know, Bullock is less of a scumbag and less corrupt, but definitely on the take.
Still a bit scumbaggy.
But there's a possibility of redemption there. He's not just like totally evil, you know. So, you know, that's sort of where the drama of this thing is sort of supposed to play out, is, you know, watching Gordon navigate a corrupt police system, you know, while investigating the murder of the Waynes. And the way they're setting it up, it seems to be that the murder of the Waynes will be sort of like the big thing that carries through the season. It's like the big mystery, the overall story.
I hope not, but anyway.
Well, it seems to be that seems to be how they're playing it out. You know, overall, you know, like I said, it's a good looking show. Unfortunately, like, I wasn't a big fan of the writing.
Yeah.
What about
the writing that you didn't?
Awkward dialogue in there, man. I mean, like that whole thing of like Bullock, you know, Gotham City is on the knife's edge. Really? Like, you know, like that dude's going to say that line? No. A couple of other things, you know, where it's just very much like on the nose, like kind of like, I mean, like even the little moment, you know, where Gordon's supposed to be comforting Bruce Wayne, and it's like, you know, as dark as it gets, there will be light.
And it's like the kid just saw there will be light. Yeah, dude, the kid, like that opening scene for me is like, speaking as somebody, you know, with experience, like seeing their dad like carted away on a, like seeing the dead body, like that's not something you say to a kid just after they saw their fucking parents get blown away right in front. Like, it, that was really forced. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, really let's forced. Face it. In the Batman Begins movie.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's much better.
I mean, I'll be honest. Gary Oldman is sort of the gold standard of Gordon's.
Of course.
Opinion,
yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
He does more just by putting his jacket on the kid.
Yeah.
You know, just putting his coat around the kid than than this guy does with Bruce Wayne the entire show. Unfortunately, too, I'm not a fan of the dude who plays Gordon right now.
Well, let's.
I know that he's from a great show, The Killing, right?
Is he? I don't remember him in The Killing.
I don't think so. Or somebody's over there from The Killing. I'm not sure who. What is he from?
I'm looking him up right now. Here's my problem with Gordon. Southland. He was on a show called Southland, which I never watched. He's also on The OC, I guess, which I never watched. My problem with this very much is that I don't feel, and this is the dilemma, like with Gotham, it's like, obviously it's supposed to be, ever since like the first Tim Burton movie, it's supposed to be like this weird looking, like strange otherworldly place. But I just don't feel like this guy is a real person. Like, I don't feel like anybody is like grounded in any kind of reality.
Yeah.
And part of the thing, and also being a fan of like Batman, you know, because we all know that, you know, I'm more of a Superman fan than I am a Batman fan, but I know a lot about Batman You know, I've read a lot of comics. The Jim Gordon is the regular guy. He's right. He's your everyman. He's the one that, you know, Batman is the superhero. He's the icon, the idol that everyone is, you know, looks up to or afraid of. And Jim Gordon is sort of like the audience, you know, surrogate to a certain extent. He's like, wow, this Batman guy is crazy, you know. So to have like, I really wish they had gone more of a route of like an NYPD Blue, because like, let's face it, that's what this is, you know.
It's a police procedural that's sort of wrapped inside of a comic book.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that I know Comics Alliance, I think, put up a review saying like it's hurt because it doesn't know like what it wants to be. But like the thing is like like obviously this is inspired by like GCPD, like that comic. Gotham City Police Department, which is what they should have done, in my opinion, because
I agree,
because I feel like this show, it's like it wants to have its cake and eat it too, by introducing like the Batman villains, but no Batman. And it's like, what is the point of this? Like, why, if you were going to start from scratch, just start from scratch, you know, and because the villains are like, it's kind of fun and whatever to see like their origins. But as we've already said, as we've said before, these guys are good. You know, Bruce Wayne, he's like, what, 10?
He's 10.
Yeah, or something like that. And those guys are at the youngest, they're like 24, 25. Yeah. So you figure Bruce Wayne is going to be like,
maybe 25?
20, let's be generous, 22, 23. Okay. They're
early
almost going to be pushing 40.
Yeah.
Like the Scarecrow, the Penguin always seemed kind of older than Bruce Wayne anyway, but, but you know, and then there was a little bit of a sliver. Is that the Joker?
Oh,
is that
God.
Not
That's,
the Joker? Like,
okay, that,
yeah.
Let me say, that personally is driving me up the wall. you know their plan with that, right? They're going to introduce every episode a character who may or may not become the Joker.
No, really?
Yes, serious.
Shut up. Where did you hear that?
I've read it on numerous sources.
Oh, that's horrible.
So it then becomes like this little guessing game of like, ooh, is this going to be the Joker? Is this going to be the Joker? And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. We have origin stories on most of these characters from the comics anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they're doing is so much less inspired than what they've done in the comics already.
Yeah.
I mean, the Poison Ivy thing is ridiculous, you know? And unfortunately, it's just the whole thing really seems kind of uninspired, you know?
It seems really forced.
Donald Logue is great, you know, he's doing, you know, what he can with it and everything like that. But, I mean, it is. It's very, very forced. It's not working for me really on any level. Honestly, the only character who I thought had like any redeeming qualities was the one that they made up for the show, the Fish Mahoney, Jada Pinkett's character.
I mean, at least
just because it's like something that I hadn't seen
done
better in the comics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at least she has sort of that fine line between sort of campy and, you know,
well, she's having fun with the part, you know, and actually really liked her in this. I thought like, oh, wow. I mean, it's very much a little bit of what she's done before, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as her performance, I didn't really see anything wrong with it, you know, sort of like a broad, you know.
Here's the thing about how great the show looks, too, though. That sort of hampers it in a little way.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at it, you know, you're talking about how, you know, nobody seems grounded. Well, like, Jim Gordon's supposed to be the everyman. Where does he live? And you haven't seen his place or anything. Like,
well, I got really scared when you first showed up at like Barbara's apartment.
Oh,
and I was like, there's no way that there's a cop living in that apartment, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was
Even that kind of drove me nuts, because it's just like, you know, Barbara and Jim are, again, supposed to be, you know, middle class, salt of the earth, you know, kind of thing. And by having her be this like sort of wealthy art dealer
super
and everything
hot,
like that,
yeah,
it's like, it just, you become a victim in a way of your own production design.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you think back to when I think of Gotham City, honestly, I think back to like the city in Seven.
Yeah.
You know?
Or I just think of like Taxi Driver.
Right.
Like honestly, like New York in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
Like
so give him an apartment in Hell's Kitchen or something like that. You know, give him something that looks like he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, he just sort of looks like he stepped out of central casting. You
yeah,
know, and
yeah.
and the whole thing feel even though it like you've got a great urban environment, all the characters seem like they have just like walked off a movie set.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also feel like they don't feel like, especially like the little villains that keep showing up, you know, I feel that's the part that bothers me the most because it's almost like, you know how like there has to be a balance. Like in the Chris Nolan movies, the thing that I always felt was weird that it was so grounded in reality that anytime Batman showed up, I kept expecting everyone to turn around and go like, who's this shithead in the bat costume? Like, like it felt like a Michael Mann, like crime thriller. And then like Batman walks into the frame and I feel like who's the crazy guy? Like, you know, and then in this, you know, I feel that, you know, that they really are losing an opportunity because I feel like everything looks great, but nothing feels real. You know, it doesn't feel like a real city. It feels like, I mean, it feels like Arrow, you know, in when Arrow first started, but Arrow was a different beast. You know what I'm saying? And,
here's the thing too. Gotham City exists because of Batman.
Yeah.
It was created for Batman.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And by not having Batman or any of like the Bat heroes in it, it's like it's almost like you're just sort of taking, you know,
well, you're taking what's special out of the equation.
Exactly. You're taking the purpose out of the equation and it then becomes, you know, this sort of, you know, empty set.
Yeah, and because Gotham, quite honestly, it's interesting that you say that like it was created for Batman. I mean, that's the thing that I think Tim Burton, you know, and who was the production designer on, you know, the famous production designer? I can't remember.
Welch, Bo Welch.
Oh, is that who it was, like on the first Batman movie?
Yeah.
But, you know, basically they said we wanted to make Gotham like a character in the city. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like a supporting character, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, Gotham without Batman, it's like Batman without Robin, Superman without Lois. Like, I just... Yeah. It feels like there's like a giant hole in the thing. And that's why I think like a comic like Gotham City PD worked so well because they were cops and they dealt with crimes that had nothing to do with Batman. But Batman was always there. You know what I mean? Like to use a ridiculous phrase, the shadow of the bat, you know, kind of like loomed over everything. And to me, that would have been a much more interesting series because as a viewer, you would be like, is Batman going to show up? Oh no, he's not going to show up. This is about like the cops. And in this, it's just like Batman can't show up. There's, you know, I mean, Bruce Wayne is there, but he's 10, you know? And,
And you just, the other thing too is like, wow, like how involved is Gordon going to be in this kid's life?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's almost to the point where it's like, you've got like Gordon in a way creating Batman, which is, you know, I guess an interesting take on it. But at the same time too, like, Jesus, is he really going to be stuck as a detective for, you know, 20 years until, you know, until Batman comes along? I feel like this whole thing was just sort of ill-conceived, you know? And I like parts of it. I mean, I actually enjoy the dude who plays the Penguin. I think that he's a great Penguin.
Oh, I think he's great,
you know? But, man,
he doesn't look
I would
like
sure
the Penguin.
Love to see... I sure would love to see Batman against that Penguin. You know
what I mean? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you're just going to end up being frustrated with this, you know? I think that's the thing, is it just ends up, you know, you end up with like a Smallville situation where it's just like, come on, you know, put on the suit. Be Superman already, you know?
But at least with Smallville, there was like, at least in the very beginning or in the... first couple of seasons, there was, and before it got like really, really bad, there was never the sort of like, you know, you didn't have like Brainiac show up. You didn't have, I mean, you had Lex, but that was kind of part of the mythology that he'd always be there. You didn't really have a whole lot of like, you know, hey, here's the villains. Like, this is what's going, like, I at least I didn't feel that way when it's when that started happening, like when he started going to Metropolis all the time, and then Supergirl shows up, and I think, didn't they even introduce Brainiac at one point? That's when I started checking out, because I was like, this is just, you know, at least if you give me some separation, and this is going to be separate. But I think now with Gotham, like, that's the thing, is like, I didn't hate it. Like, I sat and I watched it, and I was like, I'll watch the next one. But honestly, there's a part of me that's like, how much more can I accept this? Like, what's got to change for me to really like this show, for me to just be like, this is a show. Like with Arrow, it was the soap opera stuff, right? It's like, I hated that stuff, and honestly, the first 10 11 12 episodes of that series were just filled with that crap, you know, to the point where I almost stopped watching it. And then somewhere along the way, they were like, okay, now we're gonna go in another direction. And I almost feel like, I know it's not possible, but it's like, just get rid of all the villains, you know, make them disappear. Don't even, and make it James Gordon's story. And then I could find it something interesting in it. But as of right now, it's just like, it's the Batman mythology is such a crutch that he has to lean on that it's not interesting.
And it's not subtle either. Like, that's the thing that's like annoying, because like literally like every character that like comes on, you can like just practically feel them like, hey, hey, this guy's gonna be the Penguin. You get it? This is gonna be Poison Ivy,
the Riddler.
Look, she's covered, she's surrounded with plants. You know, and it's just, I mean, it just comes across really heavy-handed. And like, for it to succeed, it's sort of got to become its own thing. And I'm gonna have to see more out of James Gordon, because like, I'm not seeing the conflict at all. You know what I mean? It's just not registering on, I mean, he's put in these situations where he, you know, obviously he has to choose and everything, you know, he has to make a decision which way, but like, they're not really allowing the moments to breathe, you know, in order to see that setting in, you know. And so like, they're just in such a rush to get to the next villain that like, you don't ever like see him, you know, thinking.
Well, the other thing too is, I felt like by the end, you know, I felt that it was, he's like in an impossible situation. I was like, you know, when you've got, you know, Bullock being like, we're all corrupt, this is the way it is, you're going to have to kill the Penguin, you know what I mean? And and that's the way it is. And, you know, he fakes it. But I feel like you're like, what is this? Is this James Gordon cleaning up Gotham? And then if James Gordon does clean up Gotham, what the fuck do we need Batman for? Because that's when Gotham gets cleaned up, is when Batman shows up. So basically, what are we looking at here? Like, five seasons of James Gordon being a detective, you know, five, six, seven, eight, however long it lasts, you know, if it lasts that long, of James Gordon being a detective and basically failing, like, at everything, failing at, like, what's the point here? Like, I don't get it. Because in every version of the Batman mythos, I mean, every version that had some sort of depth to it, the whole reason that I mean, part of the reason that Batman becomes Batman, Bruce Wayne becomes Batman, is because the city is rotten. So what is the point of this? Is it just going to show us how rotten Gotham? Like, there's no end game for me. Like, what's the point? And it's funny, because I was trying to describe to somebody at work, like, what I was thinking, and it isn't until now that I've been able to vocalize it. Like, what is the point? Like, I don't get it. Is the point, like you said, to just see Batman, like, little Batman knickknacks through the whole show? That doesn't build the whole show for me. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't. And I mean, is your idea, you know, the journey of, you know, James Gordon? But again, it's like, he's on a path toward failure.
Yeah.
You know? And if it is the whole thing of, I mean, if you are going with the route of like Gordon being sort of complicit in the creation of the Batman in a way, like, damn, you're starting when he's 10, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's just, that's a long, slow game. They're going to have to come up with some new angle on it, you know? And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, I feel like they're so saddled with their concept right now that they're not going to be able to do that. You know, they're too saddled. They're too invested in their initial things. That was the nice thing about Arrow when they started, is that they sort of had some different directions to go. You know, like they were able to sort of pivot as they went off of the soap opera stuff, because they set it up, you know, with all the stuff on the island. You've got the flashback. I mean, you know, if something wasn't working in, you know, Starling City, they could, you know, sort of flash back to the island and make a correction there, you know what I mean? And that would then correct some of the stuff they had going on. The format of this show, since it's police procedural and, like, you don't have any flashbacks, you don't have any, you know, story away from Gotham.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to, like, pivot, make the same kind of pivots that they were able to in Arrow and make those corrections. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
The police procedural is a pretty unforgiving format.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, and I guess that's what I'm like. What is this going to be? Is it a police procedural? Is it a police procedural where he comes into contact with like future Batman villains? Like, I guess I don't understand what the point is. You know?
Yeah. I have no idea where this is going.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like you said, I feel like they're locked into a formula, and I feel like there's kind of like not a lot of wiggle room, like you said. And I mean, I guess, you know, the big mystery right now is like, oh, what's the deal with Catwoman, right? Like, and that's it. And then, you know,
I guess that's a mystery.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, okay. Honestly, here it is. And this is the thing that I think I'm probably most annoyed with the show about.
What's that?
Okay. The big mystery obviously is who killed the Waynes and why, right?
Yeah. Which they're alluding to Ra's al Ghul, I think. Don't you think?
No.
Because the boss, there was that whole dialogue with the crime boss.
Sure.
And he's like,
whatever,
I don't know. There's somebody bigger.
Whoever they're alluding it to,
yeah,
they're also trying to tie it in with the murder of Gordon's parents.
Oh, I never really thought about that. That would really be lame. I mean, that to me would be lame in the way that the first Tim Burton Batman movie was lame, where it was like the Joker actually killed Batman's parents. Like,
yes,
just being like, what? Yeah, and that's the thing is if you lock it into that, you know, then that's just where the eye rolls kind of like really go crazy with me. I mean, you know,
dollars to donuts, that's what they do.
Well, if they do, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I honestly, there's a part of me that's like, okay, this is the pilot. Let's see where they go. Let's see what happens. Could this be interesting? But I think that you're so locked into the Batman formula, instead of making it, again, like Gotham City PD, where you could have had a police procedural with like really bizarre crimes. And, you know, there's, you know, other characters like the presence of Batman mm-hmm. in the city. You know, and then you don't have that hanging over your whole show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, that's what's going on here is that I think, you know, unlike Smallville, because I think with Smallville, with Smallville from the very beginning, they were like, it's about Clark Kent and we're going to talk about Clark Kent and we're going to go in a bit of a different direction mm-hmm. and it's going to be about him. Now they've got kind of like a show about a secondary character who's kind of got a goal, but that goal is never going to be achieved until Batman shows up. So
yeah, and
there you
not
go.
Only that, but honestly, is it really about Gordon either? I mean, it feels like this is a show that's like about a bunch of different people in a way.
Yeah,
you know, like they're sort of cutting away. It's like, oh, look, we're following this person for a while, and look, we're following this person for a while, and you know, it, and it, I don't know. It feels
the whole thing's just kind of half-baked, I think.
I think to me it would be interesting if they did that sort of thing, but it's obvious to me, like, that would be kind of interesting, like a day in the life of Bullock or a day in the life of one of the other characters in Gotham, so that it would really mean like Gotham, you know. That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of cool. But, you know, obviously you've got Gordon as your central character. He's the protagonist, and whatever sort of like waffling on like other characters, you know, there is, that's purely sort of like accidental, where like the focus sort of like leaves Gordon and like stays on another person for a while. I feel that that's like accidental. I don't feel like this is like, oh, we're going to focus on this person, you know? So yeah. I don't know. Gotham to me is like, I don't know. It's just without Batman, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yep. Yep.
Or at least his presence. So
I agree. I'm going to stick around for a couple more episodes, but I'm just not loving it. You know?
Yeah. And honestly, it's in a field where there's just so much superhero stuff, you know, that or just genre stuff that, you know, it's like something has to at least mildly entertain me. And I just feel like, you know, a cop show without any really fantastical elements besides the city itself kind of isn't interesting to me. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, well, you know, it's early yet, you know, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, so...
I'm, as you know, I'm pretty forgiving anyway, because like, I stick with shows for a long time.
Yeah, you came down on Gotham pretty hard, though. Like, I'm, like, very surprised. I'm like, wow, Paul just freaking smacked it with the batarang or something. Like, I was...
Yeah,
like...
dude, I'm sorry. The whole moment where he was, you know, like, there will be light, I was just like, yeah, you've kind of lost me here.
I was very much like... And again, having not, obviously my parents were not murdered in front of me, but, you know, my father was carted out before me, you know, and to have somebody be like, look on the, it's going to be okay. Like, it's like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that kid is in no way going to hear you. But wait, what did you think about Alfred before we?
I was indifferent to the dude. I mean, he was only in there for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. You know,
so
did you
it's hard to tell.
Was he telling Bruce to, like, when they walked away from the crime scene, to, like, stand up straight, like, don't sniffle, or, like, was he kind of, like, I thought it was, like, really low dialogue where I heard, like, Alfred be like, stand up straight, don't, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, the kid's parents just got murdered. like, give him a break, you know?
Maybe oi, I was get your arse down here.
Yeah, you know, I know, right?
I mean, come on. Yeah. Again, like, except the writing on this thing's not spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, it looks good, but even then, even like some of the stylistic touches sort of lost me too, like the little GoPro stuff, like when he was running chase when Gordon was chasing the dude, and like suddenly you have like the POV GoPro stuff. I was just like, what the fuck is up with that, you know? Like, it just was totally unnecessary, and it just made him, it's just like this little sort of goofy touch in the middle of like what otherwise would have been a pretty good, you know, chase scene.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. So Gotham without Batman, it has a little bit of work cut out for it.
Gotham needs its city. The city needs its hero, man.
It needs Batman. Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's move on to the second premiere this week. You know, I wish I wish the Flash had premiered so we could talk about that as well, but that's next week. But yeah, SHIELD, Agents of SHIELD. So Agents of SHIELD returning for its second season.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America the Winter Soldier, the Marvel juggernaut is, you know, taking all comers. And what did we think about the premiere of Agents of SHIELD?
Well, dude, I first of all, I love the teaser for the Agent Carter show that was pretty much the first beginning of the show.
Seeing
those characters, you know, seeing Dum Dum Dugan walk out, you know, seeing her, you know, it's just like, oh man, fighting Hydra, you know, like the old school Nazi Hydra. I was just like, yeah, I want to see that show.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, exactly.
That's what I immediately thought. It's like, yeah, you know, I'll take that.
Yeah, dude.
I actually really enjoyed the thing. I don't think that it's gonna win any like new viewers with this. Like, if I were telling somebody to start watching this, I wouldn't necessarily think that this is a great jumping on point for them.
No,
in
not
a way,
really.
You know. But you know, I really like
what they've been doing so far, you know. So I'm like you had said on Facebook that there it's definitely not like an Angel, you know,
no.
season like that, you know, but I don't know whether we're ever going to see the likes of something like that again, honestly.
Yeah,
network television, so I can't hold it to that standard, you know.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, an Angel basically means, like, you know, because Angel, the first season, in my opinion, was horrible. I think I stopped watching it. And then for some reason, I came back for the season premiere. And, like, in that first episode back, it was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I mean, they found their footing, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And with what's good with S.H.I.E.L.D. is I think in the last four episodes of the first season, they really had a nice rhythm and they found where they needed to go with it. And at least with this episode, you see they're continuing in that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it was cool to see, you know, the Absorbing Man.
Yeah.
And for somebody to actually call him the Absorbing
Man. Yeah, exactly.
Too. I was just like, oh, holy shit. You know, like, they never, like, talk. It's funny, like, they have these heroes and everything, but they never refer to them, like, by name.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they were like, oh, this Absorbing Man. I'm like, yeah, all right.
That's great.
Good with that.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I definitely want to see more of those, like, you know, B-tier villains show up. Because I thought, and again, like, if you look at the way they handled the Absorbing Man in this one, like, that was a big step up even from Deathlok on the first season, as far as the character design and, you know, the powers and everything. It's like, oh,
well, they gave him the wrecking ball almost for a second.
Yeah, that was great. You know, it was just like, oh wow, you know, like, they've really sort of got the handle on their character design for television. I didn't feel like they always had that in the first season.
Well, I felt, I think I was a little less forgiving of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than you were. I mean, because I really feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. needs like a dose of 24 or something like that. I think it really needs to kind of go in the ultra spy, like a little darker direction. And I was really happy to see it move to 9 p.m. because that could start happening. I mean, you know, there's that scene with Lucy Lawless where something happens to her hand, right? And she's like, cut it off. And I was like, whoa, hey, like, you know, and it really, what it seems like to me is that with this season premiere is that more so than the finale where it was kind of like blending into the events of Winter Soldier, it feels like this episode has been directly affected by like how good Winter Soldier was, you know what I'm saying? It's not on that level. You know, I don't feel that it's gotten great yet, but I'm like, oh, I mean, I feel like they got a bigger budget, you know, or a bit something better to work with. And I feel like they're sort of introducing an element of like, you know, hiding in the shadows or whatever, you know. The one thing I don't want them to do, dear God, is please don't overuse that phrase, go dark. It seems like that they're setting that up to be like some tagline for the season or something, like go dark. And I'm like, oh God, that's so cheesy. Please don't do that, you know. But I really feel like, you know, I mean, if you're not going to get like the Nick Fury sort of, you know, super spy show that, you know, that you would really sort of get, I feel like they're sort of kind of getting into that direction, but I also
they have possibility for that now.
But I mean, I've always felt that this show is a little hampered by being on the same network as like Once Upon a Time or, you know, Grey's Anatomy and stuff. You know, I feel like this network, you know, it's got all these great hits, but it's never, or in recent memory, it hasn't had like a hardcore action show, you know.
Yeah, not. I mean, Alias is probably the last sort of big
action show
that ABC had, and this show does owe a lot to Alias, I think, too,
in
terms of design and even the season structure and everything. The nice thing I like about what at least what they're doing with the characters is I do get sort of the one thing that does sort of feel Angel-esque to me in a way is the ability to like sort of take the characters to like, you know, different places, either like darker places, and then bring them back as sort of a different character.
That's interesting. Yeah, you
know,
yeah.
The most famous, of course, was Wesley in, you know, in Angel, I think, you know, where like they took someone who was basically a joke through all of his, you know, time on Buffy and everything, and turned him into like probably one of the best badass characters on television.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And with this one, you know, you've got the scientist, is it Fitz?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like they're changing his character up, you know, and you're starting to see, you know, I mean, not just with like, oh, you know, he's, you know, damaged from his, you know, from his time, but, you know, in that he was unconscious and everything, but like you're actually starting to see his character change.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice touch, and you know, of course, they could go any way they want to with Ward,
and it would be believable.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was quite an interesting little scene in the jail cell, you mm-hmm. know, where you know, he's trying to convince Sky that you know, he's willing to change, and that he wants to sort of, you know, be a good guy again, or at least come clean with everything, right?
Or does he?
Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, they gave him a beard, so that means redemption, right?
It could be. Or it could be, you know, shifty, you know. I mean, that's what's great, is that, you know, he really still could go either way, you know, and that, you know, they didn't try to pull you know, redemption on him right away.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
At least, you know, they're making it like sort of hard earned.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, it's cool too, because like Sky's actually becoming, you know, a real spy now too.
Yeah.
You know, so, and of course, you know, they've added, they're adding a few characters as they go.
Well, they all got eliminated. Like, all these new characters seem to have been taken out in that first episode.
No, well, like one of them isn't.
The British guy. Yeah,
the sort of mercenary British guy, you know, who's really, like, sort of, you know, in it for himself kind of thing. You know, of course, he's the one that, you know, that lives. Yeah, he's still alive. And, of course, they've got their guy who they picked up at the end of last season, too. Who honestly is really fun, you know? I mean, he's the only one there who's just like, yeah, I'm a spy. This is great. I love this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's fun to have a character on there who just does love what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
Patton Oswalt too. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, Patton and
he's just great.
Yeah, you know, like, so they have a lot of good elements in place, you know. I would still like to see them, you know, expanding more into the Marvel universe, you know.
Sure.
But I mean, let's face it, when it comes to Marvel, you know that we're the only thing that's going to make us happy are going to be these Netflix shows. So.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, they're doing what they can. So,
yeah, and, I mean, I feel they're doing what they can with what they've got, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing, is I think when I started seeing the first season, like, my expectations kind of just like went like really way down, because I started realizing, okay, this is like an 8 p.m. time slot. This is kind of maybe for younger viewers. You mm-hmm. know, you can't have it be like too hard edge. But I also feel like there's a quality to it that's missing for me that Buffy had, that Angel had, that Firefly had, that S.H.I.E.L.D. is missing. And I don't know what it is. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just I feel that S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to be a little more grounded in reality. But, I mean, that's the thing, is I do feel like this show is for younger viewers, unlike maybe Arrow. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Arrow's turned into a better show than S.H.I.E.L.D., and which astounds me, because I didn't think that I would ever say that, you know. But it seems like S.H.I.E.L.D. needs some sort of edge that it hasn't gotten yet. Like,
well,
it needs something hardcore.
You know what it needs? It needs Nick Fury.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Well, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, and okay. And here's my theory, you know, Marvel, if you're listening, you can take this, you know, they are probably already have it all planned, everything.
Yeah.
I imagine that they're going to use the Agent Carter show to reboot Nick Fury.
Like, are you saying to...
They'll introduce a younger Nick Fury on Agent Carter,
who will then eventually transition into the Nick Fury role once Samuel L. Jackson moves on.
Or, I mean, the one thing that I always thought would be clever is if like Nick Fury was Nick Fury Jr. Like they introduced like Nick Fury, Caucasian Nick Fury, and he was like the Nick Fury from the comics. But then that would overtake the show, right? Like, I mean, you can't have Agent Carter like and Nick Fury like guest starring on an Agent Carter show.
I feel like there is still room for like a new Nick Fury in one of these shows, you know what I mean? And
like type character or not like
no, I think like a Nick Fury, you know. And I know that like in the current universe it's tied to Samuel L. Jackson, but you know, at some point, you know, when they do recast, I don't think that Nick Fury is going to necessarily need to be a cinematic level character, you know what I mean? Because he was there in the beginning to sort of tie all of these things together. Now that they have sort of have like the big, you know, cinema level franchise things, S.H.I.E.L.D. will sort of fade down and become more of their TV thing.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like they tie everything together. So I don't see how, like, I mean, if S.H.I.E.L.D. is like their team. The thing is like, this is the thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. and what I worry about with S.H.I.E.L.D. because I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. is on every week. And if S.H.I.E.L.D. is not stellar or like fantastic, I feel that there's a danger of kind of diluting the brand. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that by the time, although I don't see how that's possible now because Guardians of the Galaxy is like made almost like $1 billion, you know, it's almost like at 750 million like worldwide. Like, I don't see how you could dilute the Marvel brand. So maybe I'm just imagining it, but it seems like if you've got like a weekly dose of Marvel that a lot of the fans are tuning in and it's not like super ultra great, like it's not like the best show on TV, I feel that like that, you know, you have a chance of like people going Avengers, maybe I'll skip it.
I get what you're going at, but at the same time, if you, in a way, if you think about it, think about them as comic books, dude. I mean, think about like, you know, you had your monthly comic books that were coming out and not all of them were always of the same, you know, caliber or even like the same sort of range of things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is a different comic book than Hulk is, which is a different comic book than Captain America is, you know?
Gotcha.
And, you know, like that's sort of how I'm viewing it, is that, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is its own, it's a TV show, but I treat them like comic books. I just don't, you know, put them in long boxes and, you know, cart them around.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see where you're going with that. I feel like it seems like they're so closely tied in together, but I don't even see how this would tie into the Avengers, you know, the next Avengers movie. So, although, you know, the one thing that I want to see at some point is we got to see Absorbing Man face off against Thor, which is not going to happen in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it would be so great if, like, in the next Thor movie, they just had that dude, like, a small bit in, like, the very beginning where they're just, like, duking it out in the streets of Manhattan, you know, where he like absorbs the Uru and Thor's hammer and, you know, just like that would just be so fantastic. You know what I mean? And that's what I was wondering when I saw Absorbing Man. I was like, when they cast this guy, I mean, obviously they can recast or do whatever, but do you think that they're telling his agent, like, I don't know, you know, he could be in one of the movies or something, or that it's just like, no, you're just for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's it. Like, I wonder what the contract stipulates.
I have no idea, but I mean, it's pretty cool because obviously he's set up to be, you know, one of the big bads this season.
Yeah.
Obviously the big one is going to be the Hydra agent who is, I guess he's appeared in the comics before too, but I'd never seen the reference.
Yeah,
before,
no, I thought they were going to introduce Strucker, but Strucker's going to be in the new Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And he was at the end of the last,
So this dude is like, you know, a different, you know, sort of Hydra agent who doesn't age or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously his main muscle is going to be the Absorbing Man, you know, so it's cool. You know, you do have a you know, he gets a good gig out of it, and I think he's a good villain too. I really like the way that he approached, you know, the way that he approached that, you know.
Yeah. He's another Joss Whedon graduate from like Dollhouse.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, he really, it's cool because like he's definitely, it's like, okay, yeah, he's a comic book bad guy, you know, and he's not Baron Zemo,
is he?
No, it's not Baron Zemo.
Could you imagine if it was Baron Zemo? Because that would be awesome, because then you've got the cool Masters of Evil.
Oh, that would be really fun.
That would be awesome. Like, say they keep introducing, talk about a missed opportunity. Oh, maybe he is Zemo and like he's using a different name or something.
Oh man, if they're throwing that our way, then yeah.
Because you've got Absorbing Man. Who are the Masters of Evil? I got to look it up right now. Oh my gosh. Masters of Evil. Here we go.
Evil.
List of Masters of Evil members. Here we go. Baron Zemo, Ultron, Egghead. Baron. There's a bunch of different incarnations.
Mm.
Oh, wait. So Baron Zemo's, you've got the Black Knight, the Enchantress, Executioner, Melter, Radioactive Man, Wonder Man.
That's kind of funny.
I don't see Absorbing Man. Absorbing Man was more like the Wrecking Crew. Oh, no, he is. He's in one of them. Yeah. Avengers 273 to 277, Baron Helmet Zemo, and then Absorbing Man is in there. Oh, what if I just discovered something?
Hey. Uh-oh.
Totally by accident.
That's kind of funny, too, though, that it's like they've already had, you know, what's her name? Enchantress.
That's true.
Also, you know, it's like they're,
oh,
just,
oh no,
sort of,
that's not Enchantress.
Oh, that
that's
wasn't,
her sister.
You're right. It was her,
that's
sister,
her sister.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah,
almost like, oh, they're just going down the list of you know, Masters of Evil. It's like, let's put this in here.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if they were setting up the Masters of Evil?
Yeah, that'd be neat.
That'd be great. Absorbing Man. You would have to have the Enchantress. Yeah.
Gray Gargoyle.
The Gray Gargoyle, yeah. I mean, think about the possibilities. It would be fantastic. Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't catch that guy at the end. I didn't catch what they called him. So I couldn't look up the reference. And I'm surprised I haven't thought of it till now. Like, you say he is a character in the comics?
I think that he was. I just don't know. I don't know for sure.
Huh, okay. Well, that's cool. Well, I like the actor that's playing him. He was in Dollhouse, and he was also in that Joss Whedon's, what was it? Was it Much Ado About Nothing?
Much Ado About Nothing, which is a great movie.
Yeah,
really
he was in
cool
that.
Movie.
I saw it. I liked it. I thought it was good. Yeah, no. So, I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think there's potential for it to get better. I just really think they need to, if there's something about it, they need to step on the gas. But they had some really good. See, what about Talbot? What did you think about Talbot?
I really like.
I like Adrian.
Adrian Pasdar altogether. Talbot's a really great addition to this. I mean, if only there were some way that they could work in the Hulk. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes. Oh my God.
Like that's every time he shows up, that just reminds me. It's like, oh, the Hulk is out there. You know?
Yeah,
what
I
mean?
I know, right? Yeah.
And that's so. It's a little bit of a source of frustration for me, but
I was pissed that they introduced a wife and kid, like, and I was like, no, Betty, like I wanted, you know, because that was like the whole thing, right? The love triangle that he was
love triangle
like,
between
Betty.
Talbot and Banner and Betty. Yeah.
And Betty. Yeah. I was like, no, Betty, what about Betty? Like I was like disappointed in that, but you know, they could always be like that. They used to be a flame and you know, he got married or something, you know? Yeah, Talbot is like, when are they going to introduce Thunderbolt Ross? That's what
I know. That would be cool. Who do you cast for Thunderbolt Ross?
Well, didn't they already have him like in the first two Hulk movies? It was like, what's the guy with the big? It's
oh, is it Sam?
Yeah. It's on
Sam.
The tip of my... Yeah. Oh,
Neil. That's... Sam Neil. Is that it? Or
no. Hulk. Hulk. I got to look it up. Hulk 2003, it is Sam Elliott.
Elliott, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Sam Elliott. Yeah. It was Sam Elliott in that movie, and in The Incredible Hulk, it was, I want to say John Hurt. William Hurt, sorry. William Hurt. What am I talking about? I'm getting my Hurts mixed up. Yeah, it would be so awesome. Well, they kind of set up William Hurt in the one of the Iron Man like cameos, didn't they? Oh, yeah. At the end of the Incredible Hulk, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And we never saw anything come of that.
Yeah, it's sad.
Because I was thinking like maybe he'd show up in the Avengers or something.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Look, I mean, it's cool that the Hulk will be in the new Avengers movie. I'm excited about that. But like, man, I really, really want to see a Hulk either TV show or movie, you know, done right. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Can you believe that Guillermo del Toro was pitching a Hulk TV show at one point? I mean,
yeah,
crazy. That would have been fantastic. Can you imagine?
That's really cool. So yeah, you know, like again, like I enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot.
I love it.
It is fun, you know.
Yeah, it's
no matter
totally
what,
fun.
It's fun, which I wish I could say about Gotham.
Yeah.
Gotham needs some fun. I feel like it's in danger of collapsing under the grim and gritty. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, like without a Batman there, it's missing. I feel like it's the biggest missed opportunity so far of the season.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised to see it last only one season.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like a really expensive show. I mean, it seems really expensive. And, you know, but they're not going to cancel a Batman show, dude. Just like, I don't feel like they're going to cancel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Here's the thing. They're not canceling a Batman show because there's no Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But I just don't see, like, Warner Brothers letting it is a Fox show, but I don't see Warner Brothers letting the plug get pulled on a DC show, especially when it seems like they're so heavily into competing against Marvel right now. You know what I mean? They're
we'll
trying
see.
To play catch up.
We'll see. But, you know, here's the thing, at least the big props to Marvel, you know, and, you know, for the most part with DC, they let them actually have superheroes on the show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that's the difference. That's the difference between this one and all the others. Come on, Arrow. You've got all kinds of superheroes on that show. The Flash, you know, you've got a superhero there. You've got superheroes and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Gotham doesn't have any.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gotham, I mean, Gotham is being hampered by the fact that it's already like limited itself from the outset. It's basically given itself a set of rules that it can't, you know, or at least that's what we're assuming. But even if it did, like, let's say the Penguin becomes the Penguin, you know what I'm saying? At that point, it's like, well, no, this is lame because I want to see, like you said earlier, I want to see the Penguin fight Batman, not Jim Gordon, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Gotham's a turd, but there's definitely a lot of, there's a bit of, like, me looking at it and just, like, I can't figure out what this is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, even the interview thing that I read today, they're talking about introducing, like, a pre-Batman vigilante into it. You know, because Batman, you know, didn't grow up in a vacuum, you know. He had to get these ideas from somewhere. You know, it's just like, dude, he was watching Zorro, and he saw his parents get killed.
Exactly.
Like, That's it.
Yeah.
It's part of the problem is, like, again, the sort of the deconstruction of these things and, like, taking, like, you know, what in the comic books was originally, you know, like two panels
or something like
that. And now and blowing it up to an entire, like, series.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little ridiculous.
I agree with you. So you feel that Gotham's going to die the early death of Thomas and Martha Wayne?
Yeah. I mean, I may be the Joker at this point. I don't know.
You know, what may happen with me is what happened with Arrow, where I just drop it and wait to hear what happens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go back to it if I hear good things, you know, but like right now I'll probably stay in for the next two or three episodes, but you know, it's like once Walking Dead comes back, once Mad Men comes back, once like, you know, all these shows that we really enjoy come back, then, you know, we're going to be like wanting to watch that and starting to have to make choices, you know, even stuff on Netflix, you know. So I could see Gotham for me getting cut early, even though like I you know, I said I wasn't crazy about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But the thing, and I stayed with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that it gives me something like fantastical. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy show. It's an action show. With Gotham, it's like none of those, you know, and it's and it seems like it might not even be a good crime procedural. So why do I want to watch it?
And,
you know,
and here's the other thing, too. It's like, what toys are you going to market that with? You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's the other thing. It's like we're doing a grim and gritty crime procedural. It's like,
Well, now you're thinking like an executive. Here comes the Jim Gordon action figure along with the Harvey Bullock.
We'll call it a Comic-Con exclusive. And
Totally. Oh, man. So any other last thoughts on Gotham or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Dude, it really makes me look forward to The Flash.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I'm actually excited for The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. Because it looks like something that's going to be positive, you know, like on an upbeat, you know, trajectory. Yeah. Whereas everything else has been so grim. And you know how much I really just love that superhero who's like, I'm having fun. I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm doing this because I want to be a good guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I don't really need so much of the tortured soul, you know?
Yes.
Like, to me, Batman's cornered that market and he can have it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Not every superhero has to have, like, a gritty backstory. So, anyway. All right. So, we're looking forward to The Flash, Gotham, maybe DOA. And, you know, we're looking at the future of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it looks bright.
Nice.
Cool. All right, man. Well, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I am here with my friend Paul Edwards. My name is Christian Horn. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we will be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part time. Oh, yeah,